We don't need to start it like it's a game show or anything. I don't know why I'm so excited to start our show
I'm
every week.
excited. It's the 100th episode.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Sal and Bob Show. This is a very special episode here, our 100th episode. That we are doing here. I am Sal D'Amelio, your one of your hosts, your comedian. And across from me is the one and only Bob Phillips.
Hey,
Bob,
Sally, how you doing,
happy
buddy?
Happy 100 episodes, buddy.
Yeah, man, this is
good,
great.
Good
it's
to be
the
doing
centennial
this
episode.
Centennial. I don't. It's 100 episodes, and we're still doing this thing.
That's right.
We continued to do it through a pandemic.
We've beaten the odds.
Yeah, because we started this before the world ended, and then we've continued to do it. During the world.
During the afterlife? Is that what this is?
We're still going. So we got a special show for you. We want to talk about a couple things. And we're not at a steakhouse. We are at October Park Studios today.
Yes, we are.
We just haven't been at too many steakhouses. But we've got a couple of steakhouses that are very, very old, like 100 years old, to kind of commemorate our 100th episode.
That's right. We're all about
a lot of things
number
are
100 today.
100. There's 100 pennies in a dollar, Bob.
Yes, you know, and we're all about the dollars here in the United States, aren't we?
And
what did you say there were? How many people are 100 years old in the United States?
Approximately 72,468. No, make that 67.
Oh.
Gertrude just died.
I think during the recording of this show, that number is going to go down just a little.
But still, that's a lot of people, 100 years old.
Well, let's do a little math here, because I don't know anybody who's 100, but somebody does. And so if you do 72,000 divided by 50 states, there's 1,440 people in your state that are over 100 years old.
I don't know anybody.
It
makes you feel, well, then again, there's 325 million people in the country. So if only 72,000
365
people,
now.
What's that?
365.
365
yeah,
million?
Yeah, that's a new, yeah,
there's only 72,000.
Yeah.
Like, that tells you something. You better live start living your life.
Yeah, let's do that. 72,000 divided by 365 million, 0.0001% of the population is 100 years or older. And look at us. We're on our 100th episode. Gosh
yes,
darn
are.
It. It's a, you know what, we're making fun, but it's significant because there's a lot of podcasts that come and go. They last for, you know, a couple of months. Here we are, we're over.
Nate, cue up I'm Still Standing by Elton John, baby.
We're still standing, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take a lot. We just come. I come to your house and we turn a mic on and make wine. So I don't know how hard this is to do.
We kill a couple of bottles of wine and the ideas
it's
just
like
flow.
We're hiking a mountain to do this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. It's not. It isn't the greatest accomplishment, but I'll say this: to be in the podcast business for over 2 years, that's an important thing. And you wonder. You say to yourself, "Well, wait a minute. There are 52 weeks in a year. Why are you saying you've been at this for over 2 years?" I'm going to tell you why. Because we got to take a holiday too. We take Christmas and New Year's and a few things off. And so, you know, it's a little over 2 years, but it's 100 episodes and it's important to us. So we thought that we would look up some important stuff having to do with the number 100. And one of the things that I found was that, you know, numerology, astrology, that, you know, some people follow that stuff. I don't really
superstitious with that stuff.
I guess there's some weird superstition still left in me, but I don't, you know, I don't follow this stuff. According to numerology, 100, the numeral 100 represents energy that's self-determined, independent, and has infinite potential. Do you feel do we feel like we have infinite potential here? I don't know.
I don't know.
I feel like we have potential, but infinite? We're not making a whole lot of money at this, but we're doing okay. So, that's the key word, potential. We could blow up. We don't know.
You never know.
It's possible.
I mean, look, we do this for our for our fans. We do this for our comedy careers.
Yes.
We do this to drink wine.
We do it to drink wine.
We do it to get together. Like we said, we haven't gotten together in a long time. Our producers in town.
Yes, very good point.
You know, it's the hangout. I had a show last weekend. Some comics showed up to see me perform, and they were like, you know what, it was great to see you. That was awesome that what you did on stage, but I love just hanging out after. We were just having a couple of beers, and, you know, comics miss that stuff, man.
Man, don't we ever. It's funny you said that, because I just got a request this morning on the old website asking me to do a private party, and I'm all, you know, holidays in non-COVID times, and that's the, you know, that's sort of the icing on the cake if you're a comic. You get a few holiday parties, you're paid ridiculous money to go and entertain, you know, a company or a gathering of a family or something. This guy asked if I wanted to do a private party of 30 people at a house. I said,
yeah.
I you know, in normal times, I would say, absolutely not. I don't have any interest in that.
Yeah.
But we're so starved for actually doing the thing we love to do. So I said, yeah, I'll do that. Let's, you know, here's the price. And he agreed on the price, and away
it's
we
beautiful.
Go.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have a great time.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. It's going to be
weird.
It's going to be a living room.
You're taking, I mean, I did a show last weekend and it was great. It was Camille's on the Bay on the East Side.
Oh, I love Camille's.
Yeah, yeah. You said
we've done Camille's.
So I did that. Did you do it in the back tent behind the bar kind of thing, or did you do it inside?
No.
Because they said they used to do it inside.
Oh, wait a minute. Camille's was the place we went to have dinner after another gig we did. Remember that?
Oh, okay. Maybe that was it. Because I never ended up going inside there.
Oh, it's a fun place. Yeah.
They had a... It was kind of, I joked about it on stage, but it looked like one of those smoker's tents.
Yeah.
But that's where the comedy show was. It held about 60 people.
Right.
And it was just a tent.
Which is what we're reduced to, by the way. Oh, you got a tent? Awesome.
Yeah. So to your point about doing gigs, these are just the gigs we do now, and it's a different atmosphere. But you know what? It was a lot of fun. Everybody was crammed in this tent. They had heaters in there.
Yeah.
It wasn't that cold. But they had heaters in there. It was 50, 60 people. Nobody had masks on. Everybody was having a good time.
If you're outdoors, you can get away with
it. It was outdoors.
Mask. Yeah, good for you. I'm glad you had fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But anyway, not to get off on a tangent as we get back.
That's all we do is get off on tangents.
You know, we were talking about hundreds. And ironically, I made $100 on that gig. So that's why I brought up
that. No, I don't believe that. But
no, I was paid a little bit more than that.
Well, Sal, according to numerology, the number one brings independence, leadership qualities, and the ability to work alone to the number 100. The number zero brings openness, wholeness, comprehensiveness, and infinity to the number 100. I don't even know what that this is why I don't believe in this shit, this numerology. The two energies, zero representing all that is, and one representing aloneness, may appear to be incompatible. But they enhance each other when combined. Okay, whatever. You know, there's like four people in the world who actually live their lives like this. I don't know, but it's the centennial episode is what we're saying.
But numbers are important. I mean, like things are that
in
happen.
Our business, yes.
Well, yeah.
How many people are in the crowd?
Correct. Right? That, I mean, just it's just in general, like you got to have a sense of this. Are you superstitious about that kind of stuff, though? Are you on numbers?
You know, I'm making fun of numerology as a pseudoscience at this moment, but I am superstitious about certain numbers, and I don't know where it comes from. It's just, you know, everybody has that thing. The numbers 2 and 8 have always been, quote-unquote, lucky for me.
Okay, I like that.
They come up a lot in my lottery
picks.
My favorite
number is 8, because I'm born April 8th.
All right.
So I've always been a...
And I was March 8th, so that's why 8 is important to me.
Yeah, me too. You know, my mom was March 28th, so that's why.
Well,
we
look
said
at that,
2 and 8.
We have a
so
okay.
There you go.
Look at that's so why we're doing this show together, Sal.
What's that?
We're inextricably linked through numerology.
Yeah. Isn't it weird how if you sit? I know we're like going on, but like if you sit in a room with like 30, 40 people, the odds of this of two people having the same birthday are very, very likely.
I actually read in a room of how many people?
It could be like a classroom, and there's two people with the same birthday.
Now, there's 365 possible birthdays in that room. But right, I read just, somewhere too, like if you're in a room of 30 people, your odds are 50-50 that someone has. I don't get that.
It's insane. You know, like I went to, what was that? I was at CVS or something the other day, and you know how they always ask for your phone number for the $2.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about that on here. But she, maybe I was buying wine. I probably was buying wine. And she had to look at my license, and the lady was like, oh, we got the same birthday. You know, you ever have that happen where you got the same birthday as somebody?
Sure.
And you're like, oh, that's, you know, then what are you supposed to say? Oh, that's a horrible birthday.
Hey, we should get together. That's a sign that we should
it's
be knocking
day.
Boots.
That's what everybody says. Yeah. What do you say after that? It's a great day.
Well, we got a lot of different significance for 100 in the Bible, Sal. Did you know that?
I haven't read the Bible
you're,
since
you're
I was
an
at
Italian
La Quinta
Catholic
Inn
guy.
One night where I didn't have nothing to do when I read the
Wait,
Bible.
Why were you reading the Bible? Were you waiting on somebody?
No. I just happened to be in a hotel. It was during my Arizona days. I was bored. I had nothing. I think the cable was out. I'm like, all right, might as well look at this Bible for the first
Gideons,
time ever.
The Gideons delivered you your reading material for the day. Well, according to the Bible, Abraham was 100 years old, and I'm quoting Genesis 21:5. And his wife Sarah was 90. I don't know what that means. When Isaac was born, this is their son. Even though Abraham had already produced a son, Ishmael, God considered Isaac the rightful heir to the promises made to his father. So there's some significance there to the number 100. There's all kinds of, I don't know what the word is here, instances of the number 100 meaning something. And when you think about it, I mean, the president's first 100 days, right?
Yeah.
When there's a new president, they always go, okay, how was his first 100 days?
First
I don't know where that
days.
Came from. You know, to live to 100 or to, you know, score 100 on a test. I mean, it's perfection.
SAT, isn't it? No, that's not based on 100, is it?
I don't know.
SAT.
I don't remember that. You know, I don't, it's so long since I've had to deal with that, but I mean, you know, a regular test, 100 is perfection, right?
Yeah.
And we found, Sal, a steakhouse.
Yep.
That is 100 years old.
The Northwestern Steakhouse in beautiful Mason City, Iowa.
Yeah.
It's the oldest steakhouse. Immigrants
in the country.
From Greece started this place.
Yeah. They call it the most iconic steakhouse. It said the steak sizzles in extra virgin olive oil, butter, and a special Greek seasoning blend. Oh, my God.
Nice.
Let's road trip. We got to go. I want to go now. Butter and olive oil? Come on.
Yeah, that sounds good, man. Back in, what does it say here? Established in the 1920 as Pete's Place, the original location was sandwiched in between two large cement plants in neighborhoods called Northwestern Row. Here, all Tony and Pete strived to do was feed the hard workers of what used to be known as River City, now Mason City, Iowa. This was a time where T-bone steaks were $25. That seems kind of expensive, doesn't it?
Back then, yeah, 20.
I mean,
wait a minute,
Christ,
what's a T-bone now? 35?
That's what I mean. I don't know. Oh, no, 25 cents.
There was 25.
There was a period there.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Imagine getting a steak for 25 cents.
25 cents.
Holy like, here's
shit.
A dollar.
The Sal and Bob show would have been thriving.
Yeah.
Steaks for 25, wine
wow.
for probably a dime. We would have been in business.
That would have been crazy. I mean, you could get a full meal for under
yeah,
a
I thought
buck.
I said 25
for 100 cents.
But it was a period.
See, there we go with the 100 again. 100 pennies would get you a meal.
Man.
Did you see the picture of this place? The Northwestern Steakhouse? Have you seen it? It looked like a dentist office.
Really?
I mean, it's just this. Look at this. You see in the picture here?
Sure.
For those people who don't get video with the cell.
Your screen's off.
Wait, my screen's off.
Your saver time.
Of course it is. Yeah.
Or...
Okay, look at that. Look at that.
I mean, wow. It does look like a dentist office. It looks like an apartment building.
I don't know. There must be two levels in there.
It looks like where Ralph Cramden lived.
The
honeymooners.
By the way, the honeymooners. You know what? People say a lot of people in comedy
that
say they love that show.
Years old.
Yeah, it should be. 100.
I was literally one of my favorite shows.
Is it really?
I absolutely loved on.
Oh, you know what, buddy? I don't know what it was about. No, I actually do know what it was about.
Crazy.
That show.
They only did like 30 episodes of that show.
Is that all they did?
Yeah, they didn't do a lot of that.
I didn't know that.
They didn't do many.
I didn't know that. Okay.
I was shocked when I
So, I mean, Jackie Gleason, you know, great comedic actor. But when I look back at that show made me nervous. There was so much tension going on in that show all the time. Everybody was mad at each other. I mean, there was threatened spousal abuse. Remember? You know, he's like, Alice, to the moon. I'm going to punch you to the moon. He's always threatening to hit her.
Yeah, you couldn't have that these days.
No, you couldn't
39 total episodes of The Honeymooners.
So how many seasons would that have been?
What? That's not many at all.
I mean, I don't know how many shows they had per season, you know, back then. Maybe they had 10. It was 4 years. Ralph Cramden.
I loved it. I absolutely loved
and,
that show.
And what was Art Carney's character?
Ed Norton.
Ed Norton!
Yeah, Norton. You know how he used to do the, I love hearing this story, you know, just hearing the backgrounds of like how they developed some of the antics that they did.
Mm-hmm.
You remember when he would go over he would address the golf ball and do all kinds of antics before he did anything, whether it was a phone call or or eat a meal, whatever. You know, he got that from his dad. He said that when he was a kid, he would, Ed Norton would just watch his dad, and his dad always took it wasn't like how he did it in the show, but he just said his dad took a long time to do anything.
Okay.
And he said he developed that character from his dad because his dad would just take a long time to do stuff, like to wind his watch or.
Yeah.
So Ed Norton said he always just remembered his dad taking a long time. So when it came time to do the Honeymooners and they told him he had to do a golf scene, he addressed the ball like his dad would do it. And they said
20 different things.
It became an iconic
distracting
thing
him.
And I just love hearing stuff like that because it just seems like everything that is created on television just seems to be stemmed from your childhood, whether it's Ed Norton or Ralph Cramden or whoever. Or it just seems like things comes from
some elemental place, some really important place when
really
you
cool
were younger.
Hear that.
By the way, an underappreciated movie. I don't know. I'm going to say that. Hardly anyone has seen this movie. It's called The Illusionist.
Okay.
It came out 12, 13 years ago. Edward Norton is in it. It's about a magician.
I think you told me
in
about
Russia.
This.
I mean, this is one of the best movies ever. I love this movie. But the problem was it came out at the same time as another movie called The Prestige. And The Prestige starred Michael Caine and Christian Bale, the guy who played Batman. So he had come off the first Batman movie, big success. So that movie did all the business. The Illusionist, which was just as good. You know, people are like, two movies about magicians? No, thank you. So anyway, see that one.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
So Sal, you wanted to talk about football. And I know you have a lot to say. But my partner here, Sal, is the most informed, smartest guy I know when it comes to professional sports. So tell us what's going on
in the NFL. Well, here's the thing. And when you say that, I'm not nowhere near some of these guys like that we listen to on 97.1 and
yeah,
and,
you
and
are.
ESPN.
Yeah,
I'm not. No, I'm not.
No, you're selling yourself short.
The reason I am like I am, and I'm going to tell you the story because as you were talking, it just okay, so I'm going to go way back here. When I was a kid, okay, when I was like 13,
mm-hmm.
I read the back of cereal boxes while I was eating cereal. I know a lot of people did that.
Yeah.
Okay, but I did it like religiously.
Had to do that.
And I mean, I would read everything. I mean, if there wasn't a cereal box there, I'd read the back of a pasta bag that my mom had on the table. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I would
Muller's pasta.
Yeah. I had, when I ate,
look at the
I had
carb content.
Something. I really did. I always had to read something while I was eating.
Buddy, I'm the same way.
So that's why today with phones, it's perfect for me to read my phone while
I'm eating. Well, transferred to the bathroom as a man. You have to have something to read in the bathroom. And thank God for cell phones now, right?
True. So I know I'm going off on a tangent again, but how I became a sports enthusiast is when I stopped reading the back of cereal boxes because I got bored with just reading, you know, stupid stuff on the back of a cereal box. I started reading the paper. I started reading the Free Press
because
I got 17, 18. And I would always read the sports section first. I would always just devour the sports section. And That's how I got my love of just looking at stats. And
well, that's how it happens.
There's no other
reason. You develop
reason.
These obsessions when you're a kid.
So that's why I know sports is because I look at box scores and I look at standings and I look at how many games this team is behind or how many, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's where I got my love of that stuff. So, but I'm not like, I don't dive in deep into the each team like a lot of the professionals.
But
dude,
you know, look, you and I mean, we like to bet on sports. We like to bet on a lot of things. We're gamblers, right? Whenever there's anything to do with a contest, I'm consulting you because you always know the over-under. You know the odds. You're like, okay, I think this spread is a little too big. It might be too small. And you you give me advice on where to put the money. So. You obviously know you know more than
I know
do.
A little bit, and just my overall assessment, I guess, of the first 2 weeks of the NFL season, because it's only 2 weeks. There's 14 weeks left, many weeks.
Not in the Lions season.
But what I'm feeling is the Lions suck again. Tampa Bay's not as good as I thought they were going to be.
No,
I don't think Tom Brady's going to win another
I called that
Super
on
Bowl.
Our show, by the way.
Yeah,
I said Tom
call.
Brady
I watched,
is going to suck
a
it
couple,
this year.
I watched them a little bit, and they're just not that great of a team.
No.
So Tom Brady is 43. You're not going to the Super Bowl. That's the number three. The Dallas Cowboys are way better than I thought they were going to be, even though they just squeaked out a win 40-39 on a last
They're only they're
field.
1-1, but
they're
you know
one.
They're good.
They're almost 0-2. Yeah. Dallas could actually win the Super Bowl. I'm saying it right now on the podcast that they're good enough to win the Super Bowl. Kansas City's good. They won the Super Bowl last year. They're good. The Steelers are good. I'm just seeing some teams that maybe aren't as good as what we thought, but it's very early. So just my assessment of 2 weeks.
But you see some trends.
Tom Brady's not going to win a Super Bowl this year. They're not that good. New Orleans is not that good. They're not as good.
Drew
Michael
Brees,
Thomas
man,
being hurt.
He has aged. His yards per pass is five.
Well, they said they were talking on the air during the game. What was it, Monday night? Were they on Monday Night Football last night or was it Sunday night? I forgot when they were on. They were just
I think
on
it was Monday.
TV. And they said that Drew Brees has just lost a step, man. He's just lost a.
He's
lost
got no arm
a little
strength
bit of velocity.
Anymore. Yeah.
And, you know, you got to remember, these are pro athletes. If you lose just a fraction of a second on your pass, that's a DB breaking it up.
That's exactly
so
it.
So you're done.
Yeah.
You know,
see,
you're done.
See, that's the kind of stuff I count on from you. You know that. They lose a fraction of a second on their arm strength.
Winning a Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Drew Brees is still capable of
doing
that.
Well, I mean, we've seen that with our pal Peyton Manning, right? Dude had a rag arm for that last year. He couldn't complete anything beyond 10 yards, right? But they put together a game plan where he actually won a Super Bowl. You talk about dinking and dunking it. I think in that season where he was replaced a couple times because he was injured, I don't think he had a pass over 30 yards.
No.
So, it was kind of a miracle that he won that, but you're right.
So anyway, that's just my assessment on just some of the teams I'm seeing that I saw play for a couple weeks. I'm trying to think. Baltimore looks really, really good. Baltimore could really
well. They got a great quarterback there.
Yeah, they could actually win the Super Bowl this year. Arizona, Kyle Murray. I know the Lions play Arizona this week. They look pretty good. Anyway, just a first 2 week assessment of the NFL is just like New England's not going to win a Super Bowl and Tampa Bay's not. So Tom Brady's old team's not going to win.
Neither of those
and
teams.
His new team's not going to win.
And I love
so
that.
I think we're going to have a different Super Bowl winner this year. I'm just going to say
that. I hope so.
I'm just going to say
that. I love
that.
The
team
idea.
That's never won it is going to win it. So
I love the idea that during the worst months of when COVID hit, Tom Brady is down there in Tampa Bay copywriting and trademarking Tampa Bay. It's like, the rest of the country is dying and sick and out of work. And he's like, come on, have a brain, would
exactly.
you?
Exactly.
So he's not going anywhere with that team. I don't care if it's this year or next year. He's done. They're done. But I wanted to bring up something. You said Dallas 1-1. They look like they could be Super Bowl contenders. Now our Lions are 0-2. Now technically, only one game separates them at this point. but you might as well be talking about 100 games, which relates to our 100th episode. There's only one game that separates Dallas and Detroit, but it's light years.
Correct. Right? Oh, yeah.
Detroit is going nowhere. In fact, I'm going to predict right now they're going to go 3-13. They're going to fire Patricia after the fourth game because they're going to know, look, we're completely out of
it.
They're too stupid to know they're out of it at 0-2, and they are. But Martha Ford, you know, she wakes up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and, you know, somebody feeds her the news, you know, through a horn in her ear. It's like what Beethoven used to use, you know, because he was hard of hearing. People have to come up and yell in his ear, you know. So they don't know they're out of it yet, but that's why they suck so bad as an organization. No. They don't know that 0-2 means you're done. So they're going to be 3-13. Dallas is probably going to go probably 12-4, maybe 11-5.
Yeah, 11-5. They're going to put it together. They're a really good team. They lost their first game. I forgot who they lost their first game to. It was a really good game. I think it was against Tennessee, and they had a pass interference call in the end zone. I watched that game. They would have won that game. So they would really be 2-0 right now.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for that pass interference. Mm-hmm. I think Dallas is going to be good. Just real quick, baseball is getting ready for their playoffs. There's going to be 8
Tigers are still in it, aren't they?
The Tigers are technically still in it.
For a while.
They're kind of done. They're pretty much. This is the last week. It's done. The playoffs start.
How many games under are they? Like 5?
8 teams from each league make the playoffs, which is unheard of in
baseball. 16 out of how many teams? 32?
Yeah, and in baseball, that's unheard of.
Is that the same amount as in football? Are there 32?
Well, they don't normally do that. They're just doing it because of the...
No, I mean the number of teams. Is it the same number of NFL
and this MLB year teams? It is. Yeah, this year
so
it is.
So 32 teams in each league.
There might be 36 in baseball.
36? Okay.
It's right close.
Okay.
And football has wild card playoff teams,
right,
too.
What's the Lions
baseball
won't qualify
for years, baseball just did. You either win your division or you don't make the playoffs. They never had the wild card years ago.
Right.
Now, this year, not only do they have the wild card, they're just adding 4 more teams to get more games.
Right.
Because the owners didn't make enough money. Basically what it is.
And speaking of adding teams, the Las Vegas Raiders, technically an expansion team, right?
Yeah.
They're going to make the playoffs before the Lions do.
Well, they'll win a Super Bowl before the Lions.
Everybody will win a Super Bowl before the Lions.
I really, truly believe.
Fucking Lions.
I think the Cardinals, Little League, Northville here.
Bleep that out.
we'll win the Super Bowl before the Lions. Anyway.
You and me as a team of 50-something guys will win a Super Bowl before the Lions will.
It's been a crazy sports year. I mean, you got like the U.S. Open was last weekend. You got the Masters coming up, which is usually in April. The Big Ten football season now is going to kick off October 24th.
Yeah.
I mean, so
that's what they say.
This is just a crazy year for sports.
It really is. Now the Big Ten is supposed to kick off, but then I read just today that there's a Big Ten team, I think, that has 10 players that are COVID positive.
Yeah.
So I got a feeling.
I might be able to play for Michigan if I go and register now.
You going
to
be a tight end?
I might be.
I'm the water boy. That's all I could qualify for.
I'll
I'd be a second string water boy at this point.
I'll go out there. But I was trying to think, like, and again, I haven't looked at the schedule, but they said the Big Ten is going to have like a 10-game season starting October 24th.
Okay, all right.
So what the hell does that mean? Does that mean Michigan's going to be playing Illinois on Christmas Eve?
I guess. I don't think Michigan's going to have a good season either, as long as Harbaugh's in charge.
They're starting October 24th. They usually start in August.
And Trump was sort of pressuring them to do that. By the way, get back to the number 100 here. Jesus' parable of the sower reveals the wide variety of responses humans can have toward the gospel message. Those in which the truth takes root can produce fruit, i.e. love, service to others, in varying proportions. Believers can produce fruit that is 30, 60, or even 100 times more than what they receive from God. This is Mark 4 and Matthew 13. Wow, we have biblical
big time
demarcations for the numeral 100. Additional, so there's some additional stuff. The Israelites, when they left Egyptian bondage, brought with them the bones of Joseph. After entering the promised land, they buried him per Joseph's request. And I would think that would be anybody's request. Bury me. Don't just leave me out on the sand, you know, so the coyotes could get me. They buried him near Shechem in the land his father Jacob bought for 100 pieces of silver.
Wow.
So we got, you know, wow. there's a lot going on with the number 100. We're on our 100th episode. And by 100. The way, look how social we are, Sal. Look how social. 100 times we've done this. We're all over
Instagram, the internet.
Where are we? We're on Twitter at Sal and Bob Show. You're individually. There's the wine again. Individually. Yeah. What am I from Romania? Individually. You're at SalEDO8. I'm at Bob the Suit. Follow us on Facebook, Sal and Bob Show.
We're part of Perfecta podcast. Yes.
That's your wine taking effect. Good for you. I'm not the only one. Perfecta Podcast Network.
We've had some Middle Eastern food. We had a couple glasses of wine.
I had more than a couple.
Dogs running around. We're good.
Yeah. So, yes, part of the Perfecta Podcast Network.
Perfecta.
Did I say? What did I say?
You said it right.
Perfecta? Perfecta Podcast Network. Our pals Ross Duncliffe and Matt Holt are comedy friends. I almost said comedy. Good God! Somebody stop!
Somebody stop me!
Somebody stop me! And also sponsored by One Night Stands Comedy Club.
We're hoping they can open up very soon. Jeez,
what, buddy, what do you think about that? I mean, I thought
we're just still here. We're still waiting. We're waiting for the funny doors to open up.
I thought that if comedy clubs were going to open in Michigan, it would have been during the warmer months. Now we're headed toward the colder months, and there's not going to be any opportunity for people to dine outside, to drink outside. Do you think that we're just done until 2021?
No, I don't think so.
Spring of 2021?
Listen, man, I told you, I think we talked about it while we were having lunch, the virus came out in January, which I don't want to get into conspiracy theories, but boy, they released it at the perfect time as far as like holiday sales go. I always said that. You don't want to disrupt the November, December business for retailers, restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't. So what I think is going to happen is after the election, we're going to have a vaccine. And they're going to say that it's a lot safer to go out and dine in. You got to still wear your mask before you get to the table kind of thing. But they are going to say, when I say they, the country or the CDC, whatever, they're going to say by December 1st, mark my words, that it's okay to go out.
Okay.
Because the economy needs the money.
It needs the money. We can't have a Christmas season
inside their houses in November and December.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have already gone out of business, restaurants and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, man.
But the holidays, you can add another 30%.
You can't screw up the Christmas season.
You can't.
The American economy. This is an interesting stat that I read. I don't know if we quoted it on the previous show. The American economy is unlike any other economy in the rest of the world. The American economy, 70% of it is consumer spending. We spend like nobody's business. And when we stop spending, things come to a halt. And here's another stat that really, oh man, this is bumming me out because we have so many friends that are in the comedy club business. They're in the restaurant business. 60% of the restaurants that have closed during the pandemic will not reopen. That's a sobering statistic, isn't it?
It's very sobering. I mean, again, I don't care. I'll let our listeners know, you know, because of the pandemic and stuff, I had to take, you know, kind of a little part-time job here, you know, to kind of get, you know, put food on my table.
Yeah.
So I deliver prescription drugs part-time. So I'm out on the road a lot.
Yeah.
I go into subdivisions. I'm on the roads in Metro Detroit. And I can't believe how many small little restaurant like Tim Hortons. You know how many Tim Hortons I see that are closed?
Really? Oh, Tim Hortons closed? Tim Hortons.
I see them all the time. This one's closed on, you know, DeQuinder and 12 Mile. This one at the, there's a, because think about it. There was a Tim Hortons or a Starbucks or a Biggabee or
people on their
way
to work.
I'm just looking at that industry, the coffee business. People just, if people work at home, they're not going to stop at the Starbucks.
That's right. They're not on their way to work.
So those places are going out of business. They're done. You know, that kind of stuff.
I've seen a lot of smaller
Subways and stuff. There's some Subways going out because think about it. If you're not going to that Subway every day for lunch, you're ordering it, you know, to your home office.
Yeah.
Then maybe those 9 Subways in Northville don't need to be open. Maybe only 3 of them need to be.
Kind
so
of
what I'm
pointing
saying
that
is
out.
I see a lot of empty buildings, a lot of empty.
Man, I'll tell you.
Tim Hortons, a lot of nail shops or whatever.
It's tough being a comedian these days, but that's going to come back for us because, I mean, I think even under the worst of circumstances, it's probably early spring of 2021 where things open up. I really believe that. But you know what? Commercial real estate, man, if you're in that business, you are screwed. If you own office space, if you have a significant amount of office space, people are canceling left and right. My business, we said we're done. Yeah. You know, we don't need to do that anymore because everybody's working from home. So, if you're in that business where you have office space to rent, nobody's renting.
No,
that's
exactly.
A tough
but
place
I think
to be.
A couple years from now, I think that stuff will open back up. I think companies will go, look, we don't want you working
but it's
going to
take a while.
The pandemic's over. You know, we're not getting any productivity out of you. What the hell are you doing at your house every day?
Right.
Gonna happen.
Well, that's going to happen because they're going to start comparing numbers. Let me ask you this, buddy. I want your opinion on this. This is my feeling on it. I think this is the new thing because of COVID. Everybody's working at home. And they're going, hey, there's no loss in productivity. Everybody's fine. They're going to find out, you know, as this gets into a year, right? If this moves into March of 2021, people are going to look at this and go, you know what? We were better when we were together, when people could see each other face to face. We could fly. We could go see each other. We could have meetings. And I'm thinking that's a year or two away. But do you think that's where it's going to be?
It's going to come back. I think it's going to come back to where people
so
go
too.
In the office again. Because you're exactly right. There is nothing like human to human contact. Sitting around, you know, I know people can't see where we're sitting right now, but we're, you know, you have a very nice dining room table here that we get to do our show on.
And Nate is seated to our
Nate
left and right.
But you've got these beautiful leather chairs, and I'm just looking at this. It's not a business setting, but if it was, you need the other people in your company at the table to talk business.
Yeah.
You can't have them on a freaking Zoom call.
Not forever.
That guy's kid is playing on a jungle gym behind the guy, and you're going over his shitty sales numbers. Eventually, that boss is going to go, get your ass into the office.
And sell your that jungle gym. You're going to need the money.
I mean, eventually, sales are going to be so shitty. Why would a owner of a company want to look through a Zoom?
That's a very good point. Your sales suck.
Get that kid off your, you know.
Yeah. We need to bring this back into professional quarters.
It's just, it's not good. Now, if your sales are great, then continue to watch Netflix while you're working, I guess, if your numbers are good. But
And you know what? I'm going to say this. You're a hard worker. I'm a hard worker. Nate is a hard worker. Anything we've ever done, we've worked hard at it. But I'm going to say this. There's no way anybody can convince me that people that work at home are working as hard as they are when they're in the office. It just can't happen, man.
No, there's no way.
Have alcohol at your disposal, right? You can day drink
alcohol,
and nobody knows.
A cable box.
Dogs, kids.
You know,
I
feel like we're playing that $100,000 pyramid, you know, where they have the clues.
Right, give us the top five why you can't work from home. Woodford Reserve.
Jesus. I mean, it's a bad combination.
It is, and it can't last. I think that's what you were saying. We're gonna have to go back.
Used to work from home when I was in the, you know, when I worked for Arizona Beverages years ago. I worked from home, so
All right. Well, you know what? This has been fun, man. We've covered a lot of ground here. We've been so happy to be entertaining you for 100 episodes, over 2 years now. We hope that you're enjoying it. We have listeners literally all over the world, India, Ireland, other parts of the UK, obviously the United States, New Zealand, Australia, Spain, France. I mean, we're really lucky to have as many people listen to us as they do. And I think we're at something like 37,000.
That's great, man.
Now,
I mean, that's like you said earlier, there's a lot of podcasts for people to download while they're walking or on the treadmill or working or driving or... So we appreciate anybody that downloads us and listens to us. I mean,
absolutely,
and we'll do this as long as the market tells us that we'll do it.
Well, the market's telling us to keep doing it. You know, the ratings are good. We're feeling good about that. And if you want, and by the way,
and we will get to some steakhouses live in the future.
Yes.
I mean, it's just if you're in the Iowa area, go check out the Northwestern Steakhouse in Mason City, Iowa, the oldest steakhouse in the country.
And it's a very unassuming place. And I didn't mean to knock it where I said it looked like a dentist office. They're
no,
all about
it just
the food.
Does. It's just, yeah, it's just.
It's a great
it's
place.
It's an old building, man.
Yeah, definitely check that out. Hopefully they'll sponsor us. But, man, we've had fun with this. I appreciate it. How you
great.
Doing?
What do you got coming up? I'm going to be at the Comedy Cabana September 29th to October 3rd. I just wanted to give a shout out to Christine and Jeff
Wonderful.
Emanuel down there, Jeff and Christine Emanuel, that are the owners, and they withstood the pandemic and are still open. And South Carolina is a little bit of a different state than the state that we reside in, so things opened up a little bit down there, and we just hope that the comedy clubs here in Michigan can get to the same point that.
Yeah, we're kind of in a different spot here. I think about half the states have opened up comedy clubs, but Big Gretch hasn't taken her foot off the gas here.
No, foot off the gas yet. But there was like, I don't know, I see those reports every day. There was 730 new cases yesterday and 17 deaths.
Yeah, it just keeps going, man.
It just sucks to hear that. I mean, people are dying from this pandemic every day, and it just, I just feel like I think I might have said this, but we throw these deaths out like they're just numbers, and those are people dying. And I just
the
way we talk about it.
200,000 at this point. Yeah. That is 4,000 per state.
Yeah, it's a lot of people
average.
That have died from this pandemic.
Yeah.
And granted, could they have died from other things? Yes, we get it. But the bottom line is this virus has killed people.
It has. There's a number. In fact, I want to throw this out at you before we go. There's a number called excess deaths. Okay? And you can look this up on, the Worldometer? I think that's what it is. Excess deaths every year in the United States and every country around the world. You have expected deaths. Okay? Heart disease, car accidents, alcohol, drug abuse, whatever that is. They can pinpoint it, I mean, down to almost the exact number, how many people are going to die in a country based on average numbers, right? Well, this year in the United States, we have 200,000 excess deaths. So anybody who's out there saying that COVID isn't real, that it's a hoax, that it's, you know, it's just some made-up thing, it's not. This is a number. There are 200,000 more deaths in the United States than this time last year.
Okay,
and it's because of one thing.
So
it's COVID.
So for the people that think they're just taking it from the influenza deaths,
they're not.
It's not.
Yes. It's an actual number. It exists, and it's not a phony number. It's not a hoax. So just be careful out there. Wear your masks. Care about each other. You know, be good to yourselves, to your family, to your friends.
If you don't mind me bringing this up.
No, man, go ahead.
Because we're bringing up, you know, we just brought up about, you know, deaths from influenza and all that. I'm gonna freak you out right now.
I'm ready to be freaked out.
Me and my brother were talking about this. How many missing people do you think happen in the United States every year? Do you know
how many people go missing?
Yes. What do you think that number is?
Huh.
When I tell you this number, you're going to be like, are you kidding me?
Like people that are reported missing or people who are never found?
People that are never found.
Never found.
Every single year.
Every year.
In this country.
Okay.
Kind of A little rough estimate.
I'm going to say 20 people. Per state, so 1,000 people.
Okay.
All How right. many?
600,000.
What?
Yes.
Missing?
Yes. Go missing each year in the United States. When I
Wow.
That stat blew
That's
me 600 away.
600 times more than I predicted.
600,000
That's nutty.
People.
That's
insane.
Okay, that's 12,000 per state.
It blew me away. Well, me and my brother were just shocked when we looked that up. We Googled it.
I got it. Now I got to know, out of those people that are reported, how many people are recovered? How many people are found? Are they saying 600,000 are never found? That's shocking. That's shocking.
It's amazing, isn't it?
I mean, I'm going to say there was a time during our early Sal and Bob show, there were thousands of people that went missing because we thought we had more listeners.
I mean, they got them by state. They just have them all listed by state. Just
I'm going to bet that number is 600,000 reported missing. There's
556 missing people in Michigan alone.
Really?
556.
Okay,
yeah,
so that's
California,
2,000. That's 25,000 if you multiply it by every state in the Union.
Yeah, I don't understand. Why is California's got 2,133. Texas is 12,245.
Can I tell you that I have a couple people in my life who have gone missing? They're people that owe me money, and I can't get a hold of them for anything.
Maybe it's the war.
I know they're still alive.
I don't understand why there's not more per state.
I see they read my texts.
Anyway, that's insane. 600,000 missing people. I mean, are you crazy?
That's
I don't
crazy.
Anybody that's ever gone missing.
No.
You know what I mean? I don't know anybody.
I'm going to bet that number is reported missing. That can't be, that are like missing right now. Or maybe it is. I don't know. You get a lot of, unfortunately, you get a lot of teen runaways who don't want to be found. You get a lot of people. I mean,
yeah. Didn't the Brady Bunch? Didn't he hang out in a tree for a couple of days? I mean,
who was it? Was it Peter?
Remember that episode?
Or Greg? I don't remember
it was
that.
Peter went. And
he hung out
down,
in a tree.
He lived in a tree down. Anyway, they reported him missing or something. I thought I remembered that episode.
Why would he hang out in a tree when he had Marsha at home? She was just his stepsister.
I don't know. Maybe his sister got hit in the nose with a football and he ran away.
He got blamed.
But I remember
for it.
That episode. I don't know. Oh, speaking of the Honeymooners, the Flintstones were copied of the Honeymooners. I wanted to
Oh,
say
okay. They came after the Honeymooners.
Fred and Barney.
Well, that
were
makes
basically
sense.
Ralph Cramden
oh,
and Ed
okay.
Norton. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't
and
know
they
that.
Never
but
got, they
but,
never
but
got,
Fred never threatened to beat up Wilma, did he? I don't remember.
I don't
think
Hanna
he did.
Barbera never got sued for
plagiarism.
That. Because that was the Honeymooners.
Well, you know what? That is the kind of thing, because here's Barney. He's the Edward Run.
It's the Honeymooners. And they never got plagiarized for that.
I think Wilma? I think Wilma kind of ran the show on Fred. It wasn't. Well, actually.
You mean talking about the Honeymooners now?
No. In the Flintstones.
Yeah. You're saying Wilma ran the household or ran the rock?
Yeah,
house?
Yeah.
The
she kind of ran things, and
she
Fred
ran
just
the
did
rock,
what he was told.
Rock palace.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah, she was. Well, anyway, it's very similar to the Honeymooners.
Hey, and by the way, people, if you love this scintillating conversation, tune in next week. We're going to cover the Jetsons exhaustively.
Hey, the Jetsons was good too.
Spacely Sprockets. That's where George Jetson worked.
How do you remember that?
I don't know.
Spacely Sprockets?
I got a head for stupid, useless trivia. Well, buddy, this has been fun.
It's been really fun.
I've been enjoying this.
Thanks for listening, you guys. Please come back and listen to us again in another episode. We will get drunk with you guys again.
The 100th episode, the centennial episode.
100.
So we got
100. And when this pandemic is behind us, we're gonna just rock and roll. And go
we're going
to
rock and roll.
The steakhouses. We're going to go to Vegas.
Oh, man. Golden Steers, our first stop.
Yeah, Golden Steers, man.
Even though they haven't shown us the love they should have.
They haven't. But we'll be back out there. Vegas will be open, and everything's going to be good. We hope you enjoyed the Sal and Bob Show. Please check us out at bobphillips.com, saldemelio.com, nadearmrooster.com. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Sal and Bob Show. We'll see you guys next time. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.